In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we're presented with two beautiful images that compete for our attention and that capture our imagination. The first is actually from the Collect of the Day. I invite you to pull out your order of worship and look on the inside, right under where it says the word of the Lord in opening acclamation, you will see the Collect of the Day. We don't normally draw attention to that. It's a prayer at the beginning of the liturgy. But it has a beautiful, beautiful image. It says, "Grant us so perfectly to know thy Son Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that leadeth to eternal life." That's a beautiful image. And when I read this, the very first image that came to mind was maybe a memory from childhood of walking on the beach behind my father. And of course, I was a little child, and he was a large man, and his stride was much longer than mine. And I remember trying to put my foot in his footprints in the sand. And his stride was much longer, so I would have to stretch very far, and my little feet in his big feet on the sand, following him along. It was a fun game to play, chasing Dad down the beach. It was beautiful because it was proximity. It was close to Dad. It was neat. It was fun. And to confess, he was also cooling off the sand as he walked, you know, so I got on the cooler parts of the beach. It's a beautiful image, and the notion of us following in the footsteps of Jesus, following closely, reaching our stride to try to reach his, to try to be like him, to give us some proximity to the Lord. The second image is in the Gospel according to John, 15th chapter. It's the image of a vine and branches. It's Jesus says that I am the vine and my Father is the vine grower. So we picture Jesus as a vine rooted in the love of God. God is nurturing those roots. And he says, "And you are the branches," to his disciples. "You're the ones who will grow out from the vine and you will bear fruit." And so the image that's on the front of your order of worship is actually an icon of this story. It's Jesus as the vine and the disciples as the branches. And so that's who they are. You can see the images of the disciples all around. And so we have this picture. We can use our imaginations and connect to that, can't we? Because if Jesus is the vine, the Father is nurturing the roots, the apostles are the branches, and then their apostles are branches, and their apostles are branches, all the way to right this minute, here at St. Paul's Church, we are the branches. We are connected through that intricate, beautiful story to the true vine, which is Jesus. And again, it's romantic, it's lovely, it's beautiful to think that we're connected to the heart of God that way. And Jesus himself says, "I am the vine. Abide in me as I abide in you." And both of these, in a modern translation and in the world that we live in, elicit for us feelings of connectivity, of being connected to God. And it feels warm, and it feels cozy, and it feels safe. And that is actually what is preached quite often when we hear these texts preach, that if you love God and if you abide in Christ, then you will be safe. You will be okay. And some will be so bold this morning to preach, and they will say, if you abide in Christ, then everything will be okay. You will get a job. You will have a place to live. Your marriage will be fine. Your kids won't run wild. Heck, you might grow 2 inches and lose 40 pounds. You never know. That's what it means to abide in God, and everything will be fine. You won't get the diagnosis. You won't be afraid of anything. And I guess you could preach that if you've never actually read the New Testament. But I have no idea how you can preach that if you've read this story. If you've read anything in the Bible. Yes, there's a problem. I mean, right here in this gospel lesson, he says, ask for anything that you wish and it will be done for you. But it can't be anything. Like, I want all the toys in the world. I want all my stuff. No, it's only things that are born out of love and that are manifested in love. The rest of it, we're still in the world. We still live in the world, and it takes no rocket scientists to figure out that Christians get sick and they lose their jobs and their marriages struggle and their kids run wild and, well, you're still the height you are and you still need to lose 40 pounds. As a matter of fact, we just have to go into these stories to get that. I mean, think about this first one, the collect of the day, this beautiful idea of walking steadfastly in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, let's talk about where he went. Where did he go? How comfortable was Jesus' life? How safe did he live? He was constantly in trouble. He was driven out of town. He was misunderstood, subject to violence over and over, and then finally was crucified and died on a cross. Now, we could say he did all that for you so that you don't have to do all that. I can't find that. It says we're going to follow in his footsteps. Well, those were his footsteps. His footsteps led him into pain and suffering, not away from it. Led him out of safety, not into it. And yet he moved into it fearlessly because he was in love with God. He was connected to the Father so much and so perfectly that he was in love with God. And the love that cast out all fear, as 1 John says, was part of who he was. It was who he was. And so he embraced all of the pain and the sadness and suffering of his life and the world around him through the love of God. And the same is true when we jump over to the gospel according to John. And for a minute, it feels like a good, safe thing. That we're branches, we're connected to the vine is rooted in God. That's all good. But what does he say happens? First thing, he removes branches in me that bear no fruit. And the ones that do bear fruit, he prunes. Well, that's painful. This is not safe. So the promise that you get when you come into a relationship with God and you graft yourself into the vine of Jesus is that you will be pruned and parts of you will be broken off and thrown into the fire. But this is the way it works. God is removing everything that is not love and replacing it with love. And then the places that are love, prunes. Pruning is painful, but it bears more fruit. It bears more love. One might want to ask, why would you do this? Why would you do this? Why on earth would you claim Jesus Christ is Lord if there are no promises that will keep you safe? If in fact it is an invitation into danger and into a world that is in pain. Why did Philip do it? You know, in the gospel lesson we've got Philip, it's kind of a sweet story too, if all you know about Philip is this. You know this story about with the Ethiopian eunuch? Ethiopian eunuch is a dignitary, so he's a pretty wealthy guy. He's rolling along in his chariot, sees Philip. Philip jumps in the chariot, talks to him, converts him, teaches him about Jesus, baptizes him, and then off he goes to teach to other people. That's a neat story. But do you know what else happened to Philip? Let's finish that out. Here's what happened to Philip, we think. Tradition says that Philip, then after the death and crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, went around teaching people about Jesus, preaching so much that they finally arrested him and crucified him upside down. Now, I heard a bishop preach about this yesterday in Kansas City, and he said it was because he was so annoying, because Philip would never stop talking. Apparently, that was his thing. He would never stop talking about Jesus. He was constantly talking about the love of Jesus and trying to get people to put down their fear, put down their hatred, put down their violence, all the things that we do to protect ourselves and keep us safe and fall in love with Jesus. And he did it, and they crucified him upside down, and they say he preached upside down from the cross about the love of God to the very people who nailed him there. Why would you do that? What sane person would do that? Someone who had fallen in love with Jesus. That's who does it. And love is the measure, says 1 John. Love is the measure of our falling in love with Jesus. How well we love others. He says very clearly, If you say you love God and yet you hate your brother, you're a liar. Well, I don't know how you can get much clearer than that. If you love God and hate other people, you're a liar. You don't love God. Or maybe you don't love God enough yet. Maybe that's what it is. Because perfect love casts out fear. So I want you to think for a minute about who you hate. Well, you do. I mean, we do. You hate somebody. I hate somebody. We hate things and people. And why do you hate them? You hate them because you're afraid of them. We hate them because we're afraid they're going to hurt us. They're going to take something that belongs to us. They're going to take the friendships away from us that we have. They're going to take our house from us. They're going to steal our things. They're going to invade our country, keep us from being able to worship Jesus. We're afraid. And we puff our chest out because we're afraid, and we make it look like we're courageous. But we're afraid. That's why. Because we're afraid they're going to hurt us. The gospel of Jesus Christ says they probably will. And you are called to love anyway. I am called to love anyway. Because love is the only way out. It's the only way out of this whole broken world that we live in that is so filled with fear and hatred and violence. The only way out is love. If history has taught us anything, is that violence won't stop it. More power, more strength, more power will never stop violence and power. It just puts it off, shuffles the deck. Love is the only thing that can stop it. And love casts out fear. So be grafted into the vine. But know ahead of time, it's going to hurt. You're going to be pruned. But love is the only way out. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.